Today on the Travel Guys.
Travelers are being taxed when they eat out in a number of American cities. Well, who knew? Well, we do now, and we have the story at 2:25.
Did a Princess cruise ship ignore the opportunity to rescue three drifting South American fishermen? Details in the travel news.
At 2:15, our friend Ed Perkins shares some travel wisdom and then takes his own advice in a big way.
The Golden Gate turns 75, the Space Needle is 50, and we have a new mystery spot for you to reveal. It's your chance to go to New York or Hawaii for free today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
With the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. I am not Mark Hoffman. He is right over there.
How about that?
I've been known to call myself you. I don't know what that's about. This is Tom Romano, and we are so happy to be with you. We've got an exciting program. Of course, we'll be qualifying another listener in the Mystery Spot Contest. Mark, do we got it? We got a tough one today? What do you think?
This is something a little bit different than what we've had so far. Our first four Mystery Spots have been everything from the Smithsonian to Scotty's Castle in Death Valley and some other the Butchart Gardens in Victoria yesterday. So stay tuned. We'll have the first clue right after the news.
And we will discuss with you a little bit of information in regards to the finale. So you'll be listening for that, particularly if you're one of our listeners that have already qualified, okay? All right, what do we do at the beginning of every Travel Guy show? We bring you the most pressing travel news that Mark can find online or something like that.
Strike up the man.
Where do you get your news, Mark?
I get it from all over. I get it from, I have all these news feeds that send in to me. I have three or four special websites I look to.
And all those stringers, too.
Yeah, I do. I actually have several of my Sports Leisure staff members who watch all week long for interesting stories that might be a little off the beaten track. This first one isn't quite off the beaten track, though. Unions for American Airlines have taken an unusual move. They have backed a merger with U.S. Airways. They say it would save at least 6,200 of the 14,000 jobs American Airlines says it will cut coming out of bankruptcy. This is kind of an unusual deal. Basically, here the unions have cast their lot with the devil they don't know rather than the devil that they do know. Some folks might look at this and say it's a little bit unusual, but I would suggest to you that it is the union's job to protect it's their job to protect their members' jobs. And in this way, by stepping forward, they can say, well, if U.S. Air has a plan that only cuts 8,000 jobs and American has a plan that cuts 14,000, why then we're in favor of the one that cuts 8.
I think everybody would be.
Exactly. It's interesting that Americans' labor unions are members of the company's unsecured creditors committee. What that means is that they have a say in how the company comes out of bankruptcy. Stay tuned. We may have one less major airline in the United States before too long. The Space Needle in Seattle, we alluded to this earlier, has turned 50 years old. Originally built for the 1962 World's Fair, the Space Needle marked its 50th anniversary yesterday. It was created as the centerpiece of the 62 exposition. It is 605 feet tall and has been described as looking like a UFO on stilts. I would agree with that.
Kind of. Yeah, you know, it reminds me, have you been to San Antonio? And they have, the World's Fair was held there at one time, and they built a similar needle.
They did. They did. And it was the Alamo Dome was built for the World's Fair also, and that was used for many years by the San Antonio Spurs.
How long do you think the Space Needle will? We think we can do another 50 before it starts to lean.
I don't know, but they have a wonderful restaurant on the top of that of the Space Needle. What is it? The Emerald Club, it's called, and absolutely spectacular place to have dinner. I had one of the most memorable dinners of my life in that club many years ago. Here's a good TSA story. We've always got something where the people are always after the TSA for this, that, or whatever that they've done wrong. Here's a story on the other side of the street. A TSA agent reunited a cash stuffed envelope with its rightful owner at DFW Airport after it was dropped at a security checkpoint. The TSA said Carlos Palma dropped the envelope at a checkpoint at DFW on April 11th without realizing it. He continued on to catch his flight to Iowa. The Don Williams, who was a TSA officer, picked it up off of the floor, took it into a room. He made an announcement asking if passengers had lost anything, but nobody responded. He took it to a private area, counted it, saw that it was 95 $100 bills, and then had it properly secured and made sure that the money, the gentleman's son, when he got home to Iowa, called TSA, said that the money was lost. TSA said, well, we have it. And the man was reunited with his $9,500 in cash. The TSA officer said it was just a simple childhood lesson. He said, always do the right thing, and that way you can live with yourself.
I love that story.
I think that's picture perfect. I'm going to suggest to you that probably happens more times than we hear about. All right, here's a story that we've teased a couple of times here in the last hour. Apparently, a Princess cruise ship that was out off of the coast of Ecuador passed up the opportunity to rescue three Panamanian fishermen. Three young men had gone out for a day fishing trip. They got swept out to sea. About 2 weeks into their ordeal, a Princess Cruise Line ship came by, and apparently a couple of the passengers on board the ship noticed the fishing boat and alerted some of the crew on board that they're, you know, these guys are in, and they're waving at us. They obviously are distressed and they need some assistance. Nobody bothered to tell the officer on duty. Nobody bothered to tell the captain. Nobody bothered to tell anybody. The ship did not stop.
Oh my gosh.
2 weeks later.
Oh Lord.
2 weeks later, now we're 28 days into this. Two of the three gentlemen on board the ship have died. One 18-year-old is still alive on board. He is rescued, and he indeed verifies that, you know, I mean, obviously he doesn't have a watch or timeline, but he remembers the ship coming by and waving and people waving from the ship. It never got to the captain. So Princess is now going to have to explain how it is that they just kind of basically blew those people off in the ocean.
Wow, that's pretty scary on a number of levels.
Well, there. It is, and then Princess says, "Well, we've made 30 in the last two decades. We've made 30 ocean going rescues and all of these things, and that may be fine and dandy. But you know, if you're out there in the middle of the ocean and you're driving by people or sailing by people in trouble, I'm just going to suggest to you that that's that's a little bit of an issue. I would say for me and maybe for the people on the ship too."
Be real interesting to talk to some of the people that spotted the boat, and were they aware that it didn't seem like we were turning around to go back and pick them up? I suppose they might have assumed that that the right people were contacted and the decision was made that they were not in distress.
An NPR claims first reported the claim by three passengers. They were all bird watchers, and they were looking with binoculars, and they said they had spotted the castaways and told cruise ship staff but had seen no action taken. A reporter with the Panama Guide website confirmed that the survivor and his two friends who were at that point still alive had tried to attract the attention of the passing cruise ship.
All right.
On the brighter news in the news here, and the new Frontier Airline spokes animal is, after a public election that yielded nearly 65,000 votes, the latest Frontier Airline spokes animal will be Polly the parrot. Polly prevailed in a wide-open online race against colorful competitors, including Vladimir the Bat, Samson the Sloth, and Doug the Dung Beetle. In the final round, let's hope Frontier doesn't expand worldwide. In the final round, Polly took 39% of the vote, besting Chloe the Chipmunk and Enrique the Tree Frog. Frontier, of course, is famous for its elaborate animal art on the tails of its aircraft, with each plane represented by a unique character.
Very good. Now, we were talking about the Space Needle turning 50. What do you have now for us?
The Golden Gate Bridge is turning 75 next month. Did you know that if the Air Force had gotten its way, the bridge would have been red with white stripes? If the Navy had won out, it would have been yellow with black stripes? In the end, a consulting architect prevailed, and the Golden Gate Bridge was coated in a vermilion shade dubbed International Orange. 75 years later, the bridge still sports that signature burnt orange hue. What is changing is the visitor experience, because in coming weeks, major enhancements will be unveiled in celebration of the landmark anniversary. There's a big waterfront festival set for Memorial Day weekend, and commemorative events continue throughout 2012.
There we go. Well,
Thomas.
That's the travel news.
Last week, you know, we were talking on the air. We were giving out our mystery spot contest, and we had our mystery spot last week was Butch Art Gardens, if you remember correctly, up in Victoria.
Right.
And we had one of our guesses that came in was from a gentleman who lives in Canada and was listening to us online. And I thought, how fun. And I asked him if he would give us a call today, and he is online with us now. Jerry Warden is joining us. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon.
Hey. Welcome, Jerry. I have to ask, are you listening on iHeartRadio or just on your computer?
Well, we can't get iHeartRadio up here. They seem to block the signal coming through. So I've been getting it on iPad.
Thank you, Clear Channel.
Well, and you were listening last week when we were doing our mystery spot. And you have, Jerry, tell our listeners what it is that you do for a living in Canada.
I work for Parks Canada as a commemorations officer, unveiling plaques of national historic significance. And the Bouchard Gardens was one of them that I did a few years back.
Well, outstanding.
And so when we started giving the clues last week, Jerry knew right away what we were talking about. And he's all the way up in Canada. Actually, and Jerry's guess online was the second correct online guess, which had come, unfortunately, after some of our other winning guesses. But anyways, Jerry, I thought it was really neat that you were listening to us all the way up in Canada and that you were affiliated with the Park Service up there. How is our state parks here in California are kind of under fire. How's the Park Service in Canada dealing with the economy?
Well, we've got some challenges up here, but things are going fairly well. People understand and appreciate the value of our parks and our national historic sites.
Jerry, thanks for being a Travel Guys listener. We have to keep this short, but I just wanted to give you a chance to. I wanted to show folks that not only are we heard throughout the United States, but even in Canada.
That's right.
Thanks for being a loyal Travel Guys listener all the way up in Canada, Mr. Romano. We are the Travel Guys. When we come back after the news, our good friend Ed Perkins is going on a trip. You're going to really want to hear about this.
Thanks for joining us. It's the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman across the way from Sports Leisure Vacation. I'm Tom Romano.
Hey, do you have a bucket list?
I do.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Now, see, some people think a bucket list, you know, off of the old movie title.
I don't think I call it a bucket list. Stuff I want to do, sooner than while I can still do stuff.
While you can stuff to do while you can still do it. Well, listen, our favorite consumer reporter, Ed Perkins, has written a wonderful article called Take That Special Trip While You Still Can. And Ed joins us on the phone. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon to you.
Hello from Ed is up in Ashland, Oregon. And Ed, you wrote an article last week that just really caught my attention because I'm kind of in the business of making people's dreams come true, of taking people to places they've always dreamed of going. And you wrote an article called Take That Special Trip While You Still Can, told of a friend of yours who tell us about the story.
Okay. Joan was a particularly good friend of my wife and in a social circle that they were very close. And she was a young, very bright, very active, and would always talk about, gee, I'd like to do this, but then had all kinds of, you know, school stuff and household stuff, and she kept putting it off. Well, when she was in her 40s, she suddenly had a catastrophic brain hemorrhage and died a couple of months later, never coming out of a coma. So from that time on, my wife and her friends that knew Joan always said, take your Joan trip before something happens to you. Don't let something like this go on and on to the point where you never get to take it. And my wife and I took that to heart for quite a few years before my wife suffered a stroke and couldn't travel anymore. And so I'm doing that same thing now myself. I'm cashing in a whole bunch of frequent flyer miles and taking a big trip that will be sort of a combination of places I've never been before and always wanted to go with a few old familiar places that I know and love and like to return. So
now, Ed, you've been writing. How long have you been a travel writer?
Let's see, about 30 years.
Okay, so I'm dying to know what is on the travel writer's list of places to go to, because you've written about all of these places over the years. What heads your list?
China. With all of my travels and all the work I've done, I've never been to mainland China. Been to Hong Kong a bunch of times, but never China. So Beijing is going to be one of my key stops.
And how long is your trip in total?
It's about a month.
And we talked off the air. You're pretty much done. You're leaving pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm leaving in just a week from yesterday.
So you've cashed in many frequent flyer miles and things like this. You're going to China. Are you using a lot of different air carriers? Did you patchwork this all together? How much is it all costing you? I'm sorry, I have a lot of questions.
I'm doing it with frequent flyer miles that I've accumulated over the years and figured that neither miles nor people improve with age. So I decided, let's do it, and I'm even going to do it right. I'm using the extra miles and going round the world business class. Now, when you do that, you go through one of the big three alliances. And for a variety of reasons, my miles were primarily on Star Alliance, which is anchored in the U.S. by United. So I'm flying various Star Alliance partners all the time, which includes a whole bunch. It includes Turkish Airlines, it includes Lufthansa, it includes Polish Airlines, and, of course, several flights on United.
So besides Beijing, you're making some stopovers. Sounds like one of them might be Istanbul.
Oh, yes. I'm definitely going to see Istanbul. There again, that's a place I've never seen before, and historically, it's one of the important places in the whole world.
Now, Ed, will you be blogging or writing for Smarter Travel as you're along on the road? Are you going to chronicle this when you get back? How are you going to chronicle your travels?
I'm schlepping a light portable computer, and every hotel I booked has free Wi-Fi. So I will be very definitely in touch and reporting on a day-to-day or every couple of days basis.
Ed, we have a wonderful young man who joins us on the program from time to time. His name is Ben Schlopik, and he lives in Florida. Ben's in his 20s. He's just graduated from school, and he's one of those guys who is chasing miles and points and stuff all going all over the place. And dare I say, Tom, this sounds like this sounds like Ben Schlopik on the other end of the scale.
There you go.
You know, Ben is young now, and he hasn't picked a career and stuff like that. Ed is on the other side of his career, and now he's finally having the opportunity to go and see all of these wonderful places. So, Ed, where are you going to stay along the way?
I'm going to just be staying in ordinary hotels. I'm not big on spending a lot of money in hotels. And, of course, doing the travel reporting the way I do, I generally don't ask for or take freebies. So I'll just be staying at ordinary, comfortable hotels, as long as they got Wi-Fi.
So whatever you what you consider comfortable and modest, why, then you'll be fine. Ed, do you mind me asking, how old are you?
82.
And so
82 years young.
Ed is about to head off on an around-the-world journey.
Ed, now you got to promise you're going to go there, you're going to have some fun, you're going to do this as a vacation, one of the things that you've always wanted to do. I want you to, you know, not be spending all of your time looking up different things and blogging all the time to make people smarter travelers by spending, you know, all that time working, okay? Let's have some fun.
Okay, it's a deal.
By the way, besides this trip that you now have scheduled, I know that you're going to have other things that are on your list. Where is it? Do you have any places that you want to return to?
Oh, yeah. I'm using Geneva as a base for a variety of reasons, but I have some friends in France, in Lyon, which is about an hour's drive from Geneva. And then I'm going to veg out in Italy for almost a week, northern Italy, where I just love it. I love the scenery. I love the people. I love the food. And that's going to be where I really kick back and take life easy.
Ed, this sounds like really a wonderful trip. I'm really glad that we had an opportunity to talk to you before you left. And I hope that maybe through the magic of satellites or something like that, that we'll be able to hook up with you along the way. If not, we certainly will share your travels, and we will get together afterwards and go over all the places that you went along the way.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
All right. Thank you. Ed Perkins, who is headed off on around the world in how many days, Ed?
Just about 4 weeks.
Okay. Around the world in 4 weeks.
There's a song there.
That's, I think so. Thanks for joining us, Ed. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Ed Perkins, smartertravel.com. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
And we're here with the first mystery spot contest for of clue for today. This is your first clue. They call the wind Mariah, but they call me. They call the wind Mariah, but they call me. First mystery spot clue. The phone numbers to call are 921-1530 and 1-800-834-1530. Aaron's here with the news. We'll be back with your guesses and more of the Travel Guys right after this.
Yes, I was. I'm still a rambling man, by golly.
Yeah, you're going to be rambling all over the place with these two daughters getting married, and now you've got your backyard dug up, and I don't know where you find time to come to work.
I don't even want to get into the backyard story.
All right, so we won't.
I have to tell you this, though. Everybody can identify with this, and everybody needs a good laugh on Sunday. We were painting upstairs doors. My wife, I had gotten her this little bucket with a handle, and I decided I would just use the little round quart size and just hold it in my hand.
Okay.
Well, you know, my mind began to wander while I was painting, and my grip failed me, and the can of paint fell to the floor, part of it on the drop cloth and part of it on the carpet. So
you're probably pretty popular around your place,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, all I can tell you is that she didn't hurt me bad.
All right, listen, Mystery Spot Contest, we gave our first clue for this week. Our first clue was they call the wind Mariah, but they call me, and on the line is Jeff in Folsom. What do you think the mystery spot is today, Jeff?
Mrs. Jones.
Mrs. Jones. They call me Mrs. Jones, as in the song Mrs. Jones. That would not really be a destination, Jeff.
Yeah, for some people.
Well, I guess maybe. Maybe this is okay. Yes, Tom. All right. They call the wind Mariah, but they call me. No, they don't call me Mrs. Jones. Here's another clue. This is our online clue. The online clue was, I am an advanced clue. I am a thing. I can be found in many different places. Okay, so let's elaborate on that. I can be found in many different places at different times, of course. They call the wind Mariah, but they call me. I can be found in many different places at different times, of course. 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. And right after we talk to Eric Wolf about culinary taxes, we'll be back to take some calls.
And before we go to Eric, I think it's important for Mark to, you know.
We need to talk a little bit.
This is a pre-recorded interview.
Oh, yes.
And from time to time, you know, there are outtakes. And just for you guys listening, we left in the outtake at the beginning of the show.
Yes, at the beginning of this interview, you'll notice that something a little bit strange is going on. Well, let's roll the tape.
Welcome. It is the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hopp. No, wait a minute. I did that the other day, didn't I, Mark? I called myself you. Let's try again. I don't know who I am.
It's only, guy's been doing radio, okay. Eric, for only about,
Hush up. This is our fourth interview, Derek. I'm starting to get rummy here.
Well, Mark, it's good to know that if you're ever unavailable, that Tom can just do it for you.
There you go.
Exactly,
yeah.
He is me. All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. Welcome. We are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano. That's Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, folks, right across from me. And, Mark, I'll tell you, one of the most enjoyable things about any kind of a vacation or any kind of travel is enjoying all different kinds of restaurants and food.
Everybody likes to eat.
You've got some bad news for us, and we got a special guest on the line we're going to talk about. And what is that?
Well, everybody likes to eat whether they're traveling or not, but
yes,
especially when they're traveling. It's always fun to go and sample regional specialties and work culinary opportunities into everything from, you know, how much I love old roadside diners. So it's, you know, everything from that to a fine five-course meal. But our good friend Eric Wolf, who is the president of the International Culinary Tourism Association, is joining us on the line now. And Eric has pointed out to me something that I guess I kind of was aware of, but maybe had forgotten. It has to do with meal taxes. Good afternoon, Eric.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thank you for joining us here on the Travel Guys radio program. Eric, you sent out a thing last week that it's part of your newsletter, said, how do you feel about meal taxes? And you called to the attention, you gave several examples of cities coast to coast, Minneapolis, Chicago, Virginia Beach, Seattle, Washington, D.C., Omaha, and Ashland. I would say that's a pretty good cross-section. Of place, all of these cities that I just mentioned charge a restaurant tax, a penalty on dining out, anywhere from 0.5% in Seattle all the way up to 5% in Ashland and Virginia Beach. It seems to me like this is something that would discourage people from dining out.
Eric, what is, first of all, let's start by explaining to us, please, what is this tax?
Well, this is a tax that is charged typically by city governments or municipal officials, and what the tax goes to varies by jurisdiction. So it could go for city services, it could go for police, sewer, water, garbage. It's hard to say. It's really kind of across the board. But what it really looks like is a thinly disguised way for cities to get more revenue out of wherever they can.
So the tax is taxed to the restaurant, and then the restaurant is passing that tax on to the consumer?
You know, that's something I'm not sure exactly. From what I've seen, it looks like it's just taxed directly to the consumer. I don't know that the restaurants are being taxed first.
In Chicago, for example, Tom, having just come back from there the other night, yes, it's built right into you're paying it. If Eric hadn't sent me this note, I wouldn't have known that in Chicago I was paying an additional tax.
So like when you were in Chicago, the everyday tax is like 9.5, and then the restaurant penalty tax is another penny and a quarter, meaning that by the time you're finished eating, you're going to be paying 10.75% extra, more than 10% on top of your food.
That's exactly. Is that not correct, Eric?
That is correct. And Chicago is an interesting example. It's a great city, first of all. I love the people. I love the city. I love the architecture. It's a fantastic place. But they have gotten a reputation there in Chicago as being kind of the unfriendly towards the food service industry a little bit. It started a couple of years ago where you had city officials going after the food carts. And I just came across another article this week that Chicago police are actually chasing down and closing down food carts. Now, to be fair, there's two sides to this. One side is that the restaurants, the brick-and-mortar restaurants, don't want food carts outside their front door. And I get that. I really do. That's not fair competition. But I'd really like to dig deeper in this, because the way it's presented in the media, it looks like the police are waging war on food carts, and it has a lot of the foodies in Chicago up in arms.
Is there any way of knowing, or by looking at your bill, whether you're just paying the normal tax on a purchase, and how you would define or be able to see this additional tax on your bill?
Well, I've seen it actually itemized out there. When I've been in Seattle before, for example, it just says restaurant tax on the bill. So, and if a restaurant doesn't itemize it that way, I think that they could really get into trouble. So, from what I've seen, it seems to be on the bills.
Well, and here, Eric, for example, Ashland, Oregon, according to your chart and knowing what I do about Oregon, and you're an Oregon man yourself, so, there's no sales tax in Oregon. And
that's correct.
So you go into Ashland, and you go and you eat dinner in a restaurant, you're going to pay a 5% tax on your meal, despite the fact that there is no sales tax. The folks in the good city fathers of Ashland and mothers and fathers have decided that you're going to pay a 5% sales tax. Now, Ashland is a wonderful city, and I enjoy going there, but I guess I'm just a little bit alarmed. For years, we have been building sports arenas and stadiums for people with our car rental taxes, and they've gotten rather outrageous. And I can cite examples of Phoenix and Kansas City and Seattle and Houston and Denver and Pittsburgh, where you pay a sizable amount of money when you rent a car that's going towards paying off a bond issue that built a stadium or is building a stadium or an arena in town. And that fries me enough, but I understand. It's like you saying with the food carts. I get it. I understand. You can tax travelers because they don't live there, and they don't get to vote on whether or not you're taxing them. So it's a lot easier to raise money. If we had done this in Sacramento, I would suggest to people that we would have a new arena by now. I have no idea why our city fathers have not just jacked up the hotel tax a couple percentage points and the car rental tax a couple percentage points and said, hey, all you people coming to town, you're going to pay for our new arena and that's and be done with
it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. But in this situation, people, Tom and Eric, they're paying. This is almost a hidden tax. Eric, you call it in your chart here, you call it a restaurant penalty tax, and I would suggest to you that most people do not know that they're paying this.
I think that that's right in a lot of instances. People don't necessarily look at the bill or they just look at the total and forget about it. And in Ashland is an interesting example. I know that from what I've read, that the first of all, it looks like it was voted in by the citizens, which is interesting. So I'd like to talk to people from Ashland and ask them why they voted this particular tax in. And there's no other restaurant tax or sales tax in the state of Oregon. The rest of the state is doing fine. So they must have some kind of special need or levy down there. But, you know, I don't see a lot of infrastructure building going on. So it's interesting. But back to the whole tax issue. Taxes on travelers are a bit of a sore spot for me. My favorite example to cite is car rental tax in Phoenix, Arizona, which approaches 50% when everything is said and done. And it's really a disincentive, I think, to travel or to eating out or anything, really. Any kind of stimulus, you want to reduce taxes as much as possible to try and stimulate spending. And when you start looking at 50% car rental taxes, you know, instead I'm looking at maybe taking a shuttle to the hotel and using the hotel's shuttle then to get around or walk around rather than, you know, have that extra kind of luxury of a car that I may or may not really need. So, and it's again, with eating out, you know, these 5% taxes is pretty steep. If a city needs to fund some of its services, okay, well, let's really look at the services. Let's drill down. Let's see what's really needed. Are people maybe getting entitlements that they don't really deserve? Let's drill down. Understand the issues from both sides. And if a tax is needed, let's start with something manageable, like a 0.5% or maybe 1%. But 5% is pretty steep.
Eric Wolf, the president of the International Culinary Tourism Association. Eric, I'm going to post a link to your newsletter on our Travel Guys Radio website for folks who are interested. Travelers, you are all paying a lot of taxes, and it looks like it's getting worse before it gets better. Eric, thank you for your thoughts and your commentary today. We'll check back in with you on this issue down the road. I'm certain of it.
My pleasure, Mark. Thanks very much.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. You'll find us every week at 2 o'clock right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
All right, the mystery contest rolls on. We've been taking guesses both on the phone here and online. We've got a number of guesses online. Sun Valley, Windjammer Cruise Ships, Sun City, Arizona. No, sorry. You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com to guess, or you can call us at 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. The prize for this week is a $50 dining certificate for Rudy's Hideaway out there on Folsom Boulevard, longtime Sacramento landmark. Here the clues so far. I can be found in many different places at different times, of course. They call the wind Mariah, but they call me. Third clue, all aboard. We'll take some more calls, or you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. The first correct guess, either online or recorded by timestamp on my online here, will be the winner, and we'll be right back. You know, Tom, before we go to our mystery spot guesses here, I just wanted to tell you, I was in Buffalo the other day, had a little extra time, stopped in the shopping mall by the airport, and I go in, and there's a luggage sale right by the door. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, I really could, my luggage is starting to get a little worn, and I thought, you know,
what?
I got John Holloway. Why would I be looking at luggage, cheap luggage in a department store when I could be going to John and getting all the expert wisdom?
Absolutely. Since 1978, Holloway Travel Outfitters has been providing the very best in luggage and travel information. Not only can you get lightweight luggage, the kind that Mark buys that lasts nearly a lifetime. And, you, and of course, Mark buys the luggage that if it breaks, they give you, they fix it for you.
Exactly.
But you can also learn how to pack light. They actually have videos at their website, packinglight.net or .com, where you can learn how to get as much stuff in a suitcase as you could possibly imagine.
Holloway Travel Outfitters on Fulton Avenue between Hurley and Northrop, open 7 days a week, or you can catch them on the web at packinglight.com.
All righty. Mark, let's see how we're doing with
the old
contest.
Well, on our history spot, we do have a winner here, and I need to tell, we've got a couple online winners who have just come in, and they are after our phone-in winner. So we watch this very carefully here to see which timestamp comes up first. So we have a winner, and I'm going to try to go directly to our winner here. So for those of you who are waiting online, if I don't punch you up, why, then you know you are not have the right guess. We have Jill in Orangevale. Hi, Jill.
Hey, hi, how you doing?
Hey, that's kind of, we're a little bit short on time, so we thought we, instead of taking wrong guesses here, we would go right to the winner. What's our mystery spot for today?
California Zephyr.
The California Zephyr train.
What was the the clue that got it for you?
The Zephyr is another name for a wind, and then all aboard cinched it.
There you go.
Well, you were just, you got on the line about 13 seconds ahead of Maria, who came in on the internet here, and she also had California Zephyr. Sorry, Maria, you were just literally seconds behind Jill. So, Jill, if you will hold on, we will get some information from you. You have won a $50 gift card for Rudy's Hideaway, and next week we will give one more person a chance to qualify for our Mystery Spot Final Contest.
Welcome, everyone. It is the Travel Guys and Entertainment on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, and just about a week from now, you will have the opportunity to come meet me. Mark will be... I don't even know where
you're going. I will be off. I'd have to check the calendar, actually. But you'll have the opportunity, certainly, to meet Tom, because we are not only the travel and entertainment, but also the things to do, guys.
And I will be out at... Well, what is known as the California State Fine Living Expo from noon until 2. And I have Sherry Larson, who's putting this event on the line with us. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, is this the first of a kind?
It is. It's our very first California State Fine Living Expo. It's being held at the Sacramento Convention Center. And we're trying to bring together all the elements for fine living and maybe even fine traveling.
Outstanding. Now, tell us, Sherry, some of the things that folks can look forward to when they visit it. By the way, it's April 27th, 28th, and 29th.
Yes, it is. Well, one of the unique things we're going to have is a 1934 Bolas Road Chief travel trailer. It's one of the only 16 known to exist, and that's going to be centered in one of our beautiful gardens. It's going to be built around that trailer, and it'll be interesting to see how that's executed.
Wow, for folks who... We did a tour at Airstream Trailers many years ago, and folks were just fascinated by it. So that some of those old campers and stuff, you'll find those sometimes at old roadside attractions on Route 66 and the Lincoln Highway and stuff, where people have redone them. So that sounds like it would be fascinating.
Oh, there's an entire group of fanatics that just go around the country looking for those old trailers.
Oh, trust me, we know. We have a gentleman down in the San Diego Oceanside area, owns a cafe, who is very into Woody's, the cars that the wood paneling on the side. So what else does the Fine Living Expo hold for visitors?
Well, we're going to have a great kids area. It's the California, it's the kids growing strong area, and it's centered around gardening activities, but they have a lot of interactive activities for the kids, their families. They get to plant plants, play in dirt, make grass heads. The kids just love it. It's a lot of fun for them. We've got the Batmobiles are back.
The what?
We have a replica Batmobile.
Oh, cool.
Might end up with two of them. They're putting together the second one as we speak. And they are a big hit.
Sherry, tell us, what does it cost? What are the hours? What are the details?
Well, it opens at Friday at noon. The general admission is $7, but there will be discount coupons on our website at CalStateFineLivingExpo.com and in the Sacramento Bee.
Now, Sherry, I wanted to, with the what, with situation in California, particularly in Northern California. We just didn't get the kind of rain and water that we need to. Are there going to be a lot of exhibits that are going to show you how to decorate your yard and make things look nice with very little water usage?
Yes, there will be. There's some unique products. One that comes to mind is a, it's, if you can believe this, it's an ivy that is designed just for outdoor installation. That if you have an unsightly area you want to cover up or a chain link fence you don't want to look anymore, it's a product that was designed just for that. And this will be the first time that'll be shown.
And, of course, lots of different patio furniture and different kinds of displays there.
Absolutely. All kinds of patio furniture, swings, outdoor kitchens. You know, we're really set up more for the staycation, I guess.
It's time to start thinking about the summer. Sherry, we won't. Tom will see you.
I will be there.
Well,
I'll be there
look forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be there on Sunday, the 29th, from noon until 2 at the California State Fine Living Expo. And Sherry, thanks so much. You guys have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Look forward to seeing you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We are the travel and entertainment and on the road anywhere kind of guys. They're on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
So, Mr. Romano, we have just a couple of minutes here as things kind of wind down for the week. What's on your agenda for the coming week?
Well, wedding prep. Wedding prep. I started taking every Monday off between now and the 27th to, you know, you've got to make the phone calls.
For those
calls
of you who
so
haven't
forth,
been listening to us regularly before, Tom has two daughters, not one, but two daughters getting married this summer, thankfully a few months apart.
Bookending the summer with May 27th and September
7th. And our favorite news lady, Erin Haight, is getting married in just a matter of a few weeks also.
33 days, not counting.
Sound like my daughter as she's doing this.
I came in
days.
Today. The first thing I said to Erin was, "Still getting married?" And she looked at me, kind of alarmed and concerned. I was just
hopefully.
I was just checking in. Was all just checking in. We've got a lot going on here at the Travel Guys Radio Show. Next week will be your last opportunity to register in the Mystery Spot contest. We will take our sixth winner next week, and then we will have our finals coming up, where one of our six finalists will win a trip to New York City or Hawaii. So if you haven't qualified already, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and get yourself registered, or like us on Facebook. Either way, we'll get you in. That's what makes you eligible for the grand prize.
Now, next week, our show will be a little bit of a potpourri. We'll have a couple of recorded interviews, and Mark will be out on the road. So the back half of the program from 2:30 on, we'll be taking guesses and seeing if we can qualify our last winner next
week. We are
week.
Headed out on the National Road.
The
road. The country's very first road. We're going from Cumberland, Maryland to Vandalia, Illinois, and next weekend I'll be in Columbus, so I'll tell you all about it. Maybe I'll also tell you about the screaming child that followed me a row behind me all the way back from Buffalo the other night.
And don't forget, Mike always has tips. Next week we'll talk about travel tips that'll help you get you through the new airport quicker.
Things that'll get you through our new airport quicker this summer. We are the Travel Guys. All we ask is an hour a week. I guess an hour a week is all we ask. That would be a better way to say it.
Both.
I'm Mark Hoffman. He is Tom Romano.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.